Happy New Year. 2017. What changes will it bring? Perhaps a new reformation to unite the church. Perhaps wild swings in government policy. Perhaps weddings and births and trips and the job that you have. Whatever you answer, I imagine that a year from now, those answers are going to seem naive. 1 year ago today, if you'd given your predictions for 2016, I doubt they'd look prescient today. Would you have imagined Brexit or exploding phones? The only thing to really expect with confidence is the unexpected. And the only way to handle the uncertainty of life is with hope that the uncertainty will resolve itself, leaving us in a better place than we are now. For example, imagine you are King Herod, or maybe a president entering his first term. Good job, family around, friends, status, palatial home in the capital, power. But plagued by uncertainty about keeping it all, with his family and competitors plotting to get his power, with treason and usurpers threatening his comfort, and the people Herod governed threatened by the uncertainty of living under an unstable ruler with capricious whims who had power over their lives. For Herod, the only hope to him seemed to be in using bloody force. For the people, well, they saw things as pretty hopeless. So into this scenario comes the story of baby Jesus, a story radiating hope, hope affirmed by a story of scientist kings recognizing hope for the world in Jesus and striding in with authority into Herod's palace, cowing and frightening him and demanding that Herod drop everything and set his people to work on getting them the information they want. But that's our myth. Our wonderful hymn about them teaches us that there were three learned kings, astronomers who studied the stars, who knew about God in their own way, theologian scientists, the epitome of learning. And they brought gifts that had great theological significance. This is a great hymn for edifying us, for building up the faith of countless Christians. And that's not a bad thing. We'll use it here today for that very purpose, to express our praise and prayer in a deep and profound way. But the gospel writer Matthew's first century Christian Jewish audience would not have heard this story that way at all. For them, magi, which is translated wise men, but the word is magi. Magi were clowns and charlatans. Jews regarded magi as the epitome of Greek idolatry and religious hocus pocus. Magi is the root of our word magician. They were regarded as, we might, psychic hotlines and horoscopes. I have a friend who has a shirt that says, for Christmas, that says, wise men still seek him. And that's what we expect the Bible to say. But who does God favor? Not kings or wise people as we define them. Rather, God lifts up the stock comic characters, the Curly, Moe, and Larry of the first century, to be role models of the proper response to Jesus. They are the ones who get it, not the scribes in Jerusalem, not the powerful in the palace. Those people are looking for a new king. And the scribes have interpreted that as God's Messiah, But the unexpected title that the Magi find on this baby is Jesus. By the time the Magi got to Bethlehem, Jesus had been given the name that the angel told Mary and Joseph to give him. It had to be done according to Jewish law and custom on the eighth day after his birth, the eighth day of Christmas, January 1st in our calendar. Like I think has happened to all of you that are here today, at some point in your life, Mary and Joseph had moved to a new place, Bethlehem. And so they had to find a new church, a new pastor, a new synagogue and rabbi for the naming ceremony, just as you found Advent today, and not the church your parents were attending when you were born. Nothing for any of you here. Mary and Joseph expected to name their baby, have the ceremony in Nazareth, but instead, they had to find a new and unexpected place of worship to name their baby, giving him the name Jesus, which means God saves. And the first people that God saves through Jesus' incarnation after he's named are these idiot outsiders. Herod's the wise man in the story. He's the number one rogue as the empire strikes back, personifying the oppressive structures from which Jesus has come to save the world. We live in a world of fear, then and today. The powerful fear and strike back. The innocents live in fear of slaughter, which regularly happens. And this is the world in which God chooses to be with us. Then and today. Then there were learned insiders in the palace who knew their scripture, but were oblivious to God's current fulfillment of it. Now we have a lot of knowledge, but can't seem to use it to see God's loving will for people being done. Then there was the usurper king, with malicious intent, who thought he could outwit God by killing and overkill. Now, our selfish and fearful politics work against God's loving intent, and people die. Then and now, all of them, then and now, seem laughably more powerful than God. But into this empire comes Jesus to save the weak, the despised, the shepherds and the misguided idiots, you and me. Jesus' birth upsets the world order. He comes as God's chosen king, the one who is to bring about the peace, justice, and equity of the kingdom of God. And so all earthly kings and rulers who put their own power and privilege first are terrified. Herod's only one example, and you can name others all the way down history to today. So terrified is Herod of the promise that God will in this child restore peace and justice that he's willing to slaughter the infants of a whole region. The story would seem far-fetched were it not for similar atrocities and tragedies happening right now. When empires and powers are threatened, they will attack the innocent, and Jesus will continue to be attacked in his lifetime, culminating in his crucifixion. But the will of God is not thwarted, not for him, not for us. The powers that be don't even see that God's will in the saving love of Jesus is for them too. For God stays with all of us, both saints and sinners, holding us through our joys and our sorrows, working through the triumphs and the tragedies that attend our lives, all bearing witness to the salvation that God has wrought in and through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This story matters because it tells us the truth, the sometimes difficult truth of unjust rulers and violence and private grief and personal pain and all the rest. But it also tells the always hopeful truth that God has not stood back at a distance, but in Jesus, God's joined God's very self to our story and is working even now, even here, to grant us new life that we might not just endure, but flourish. God guided the Magi on a new path home through a dream. And God's dream for us is that we experience resurrection joy and courage in our daily lives and that we share that hope with others. God got the attention of the Magi with a star because the belief that births and deaths of great men were marked by heavenly signs was widely accepted in those days. What would get your neighbor's attention today? Would going above and beyond with acts of kindness? The Magi went home by another way. Yes, literally another road, but also metaphorically as changed people following another way, God's way, after their encounter with Jesus. Today, you're invited to let your encounter with Jesus change you so that you go into this new year another way. Come, all ye faithful, come to worship and adore. Come with your most precious offering, the offering of your very self, that it may be transformed and used by God. Blessed is Jesus, who comes in the name of the Lord, and for whose saving grace we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.